And today that's what we're going to be talking about, how God carries us through the fire. That's the title of our message today. If you will look at your Bibles this morning, if you will turn with me, look at Isaiah this morning. Will you look at Isaiah? Isaiah is certainly a picture of what the Bible is because it has 66 chapters, which tells us that there are 66 books of the Bible. And when you really look at the book of Isaiah, it is a remarkable book and how God has blessed and how He has done so much for His people. And I want to just tell you this morning that God has done so much for me. And I just want to take just a second to thank the Lord for how good He's been to me and how much He's blessed me and my family and surrounded me with great people just like you all. And I thank God for that privilege and for the honor to be able to serve Him till He calls me home or until we're caught up into the rapture. Amen. This morning, let's look at Through the Fire. By the way, that was the name of that song by Jason Crabb. And I know about this time you're sitting here thinking after Miss Tiffany sang and done so well during that song, you're thinking, Jason who? You don't even know it's the Crabb family anymore. You're going to identify it by Miss Tiffany Lynch. So praise the Lord. And so she said, I'm going to beat him. You know, so I'll tell you real quick as we get started. She told me, I went and visited her house one night, and her mom told me, Miss Linda said, I want you to hear her sing. She does so good. And she sang, and I said, my time, girl. I said, your voice is anointed. I said, there's no telling how many lives you could touch and reach with your voice. I said, God has gifted you. And she had mentioned something earlier, her and Jordan, about my beard at the time. And she said, and I told her, I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, if you'll sing in church, I said, I'll shave my beard off. And Tiffany said, well, you'll be tripping over that, preacher, before I sing. I said, well, I got a feisty one here, but I like this challenge. I said, so what could I ever do to convince you to sing at church? She said, well, I'm nervous, I'm scared, I don't know a lot of people. She said, but I'll tell you what I'll do. If you're that determined, she said, if you'll sing with me, I'll sing. I said, you don't understand what you're asking for. And she said, and basically this is what she told me. She said, I'm scared and you can't sing, so let's work it out together, all right? So, okay, so this is one of those times where the master was overcome by the teacher, I mean, or the student. And so we done that. So now her career has begun, just begun at church. Amen? All right. So, but looking at Through the Fire this morning, look with me at the book of Isaiah. Look at chapter 43, if I didn't tell you already, and look at verse 1. Now, I'm going to be moving around just a little bit this morning. If you feel like you're getting behind a little bit, just write it down or make note or get with me after the service, and I will give you these references. But let's look at the Word of God in 43 of Isaiah and look at verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. In verse 7, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, and I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Will you pray with me this morning? God, will you still our hearts this morning? God, may you settle us as your people, God, as we take just a minute to adore you and recognize our reason for being here. God, it is to come and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, this morning that Jesus Christ may be exalted. God, may he be felt in our hearts. Oh, God, may everything we do in this time of reading the Word, God, may your messenger be submissive and subjected to you, oh, God, as you lead. And, Lord, I pray that each and every one today will leave here better because they were influenced and impacted by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Holy Spirit, will you move upon us? God, will you have thine own way and will in our hearts? And, God, may we surrender all to you on this day, this first Sunday of 2009. God, may you bless it. God, may you bless these people. And, God, may we move forward for your cause and for your glory. helping build and impact the kingdom of heaven, that we at Lebanon Church, oh God, did our very best for you because you gave us your very best. Lord, may you help us. May you strengthen us. May when we fall, the most important thing is that we get up, that we brush one another off and say, together we can stand. Together we can live. Together we can serve. Together we can build a great work for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he is worth it all. In his name I ask you, amen. This morning, I want to share with you three very unique reasons for a fire. My wife, last year, she wouldn't let me burn a fire in the house, Harlan, because the old oak wood, it just puts off a stink after the fire is gone, is what I mean. You know, when the fire's gone and your husband doesn't take out the ashes like he should, or he don't close the damper, and you have a rainy day and the pressure's kind of pushing down, or a windy day, and it pushes that stink from the chimney back through into the house. And she said, I can't take this. Well, we talked about it and worked about it, and I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, there's got to be a way I can burn a fire in my house because I like a fire. In the wintertime, sometime in the summertime, I want to turn my air down to 50 so I can light a fire, amen. And we get in there, and we got the fire going, and there was a way to work it out. If you take a white vanilla candle, and you take that candle and you light it in your house, it in some way, somehow absorbs and erases or covers the smell of that old oak wood after the mass of the burning. And plus, if you take the ashes out and shut the damper, that also helps. But anyhow, now she loves the fire. I'll come in the evening time. And she'll say, oh, before you get a bath or eat supper or try to rest or relax for 1 second, go out there and build us a fire. So I cheat a little bit. I don't have a lot of fat lighter, which you know is used to kindle and make you a good fire. You don't want to burn a lot of pine wood because of the sap, but it's a good starter. That's where fat lighter comes from, by the way. And anyhow, that won't cost you a thing. But anyhow, the thing is, and you get it going, but I use those little wax starter logs, you know. They'll kind of dry your eyes out a little bit. Don't get real close, but they do good if you put them at the back and open the damper an extra click, and it burns really good. So you're cheating. The fire's burning. You go get your bath, get something to eat. You sit down in front of the fire, and it mesmerizes you, doesn't it? It kind of draws you in, it relaxes you, and it makes you so sleepy. And I like that. I like to go to sleep. And because my fire is built, my mission is good. One eye closes, the other one's open just to make sure it don't need a stoking. Because I know she speaks in the ass. How will you stoke that, huh? So anyhow, so the fire is burning. But the fire is amazing, and I just love a fire. But it's amazing how if you get too close to the fire, it'll burn you. But if you stay off of it, it relaxes you. It's kind of amazing, isn't it? So here we see through the fire. What does it mean to go through the fire? What is this song about this morning about going through the fire? You know, as Christians, God said that your cross, he didn't say it would never get heavy. He didn't ever say that the hill wouldn't be hard to climb. He never said for 1 minute that you wouldn't be doubtful, but he tells us to trust in him. We all doubt sometime our faith, I believe. I think Satan taps us on the shoulder and says, do you really think there's a God? And he makes you doubt yourself. But God says, don't you ever doubt me. Even going through the chilly waters of Jordan, he said, I'll be waiting for you on the other side. And it's amazing this morning how God pulls all this together and how God gives us this reference in Isaiah 43. In these first 7 verses, he says, I love you because you are precious in my sight. Those of you that have been called by my name, I love you, and I will not let anything harm you because I have made thee, but also formed thee. And now we go to where Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship. That Christ, we are the workmanship of Christ. What does that mean? That the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ has made us and formed us. And when he did that, and he's not referring to Genesis 2:7 where he says that we were formed from the dust of the earth and that he breathed into our nostrils a living soul. But he's saying, you are now my workmanship. Not when you were created from clay, but your soul because you have encountered me, because you've had faith in me. By my grace, you are changed and changed forever. And by that he says, you are my workmanship. I have given you life and life more abundantly. And he says, you are my creation. Not just because I made you, but because since I've made you, I have formed in thee a living soul that will live forever because me and you are united. Are you united with Christ this morning? Is Jesus in your heart? That's a question you have to ask yourself. Are you where you need to be with the Lord? We always need to be ready. You know, man knoweth the hour when the rapture will take place. We always have to be ready. Tomorrow's not promised, but today is. And he said, today is the day of salvation. Always be ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let anything get in between you and him. But now he says, let me show you now something unique. Look over to Zechariah. You know where Zechariah's at? If you go to Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, go back one book. That's Zechariah. All right? So sometimes we're sitting beside our neighbor and preacher calls out a text and you don't exactly know where Zechariah is because you don't have that thumb tab in your Bible. So a lot of times we don't turn there because we don't want to be embarrassed. You know how I know that? Because I sit where you sit sometimes. So that's why you need to go get a thumb tab for your birthday since you didn't get it for Christmas. All right. Zechariah chapter 13 and look at verse 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire. Are you there yet? I will bring the third part through the fire. Watch this now. Very, very. This is where you pay attention or you're going to miss the message. And will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Now, right here is where we get our 3 points. Ready? The first one is this. The 3 reasons that we go through a fire as Christians is the first one is that we are to be refined. You see this in verse 9. He said, I will bring the third part through the fire. Did he say he'd bring you to the fire? He said, I'll bring you through it. Not only are you going to see the fire, but you're going to be led through the fire, and you're going to come out on the other side. And the purpose for this fire is this. It is to be, number one, it is to be refined. What does refined mean? It means that a refiner separates the impurities from the purity. Now, let's look at a goldsmith or a silversmith, and many times they are considered the same individual. It is just that one time they may be making silver or be making something out of gold. So if I make reference to a silversmith or a goldsmith this morning, at different times they are the same individual, okay? So let's look at the silversmith this morning. He has to first, number one, start a fire. Now let's run a parallel this morning with God and with a silversmith, because he is our silversmith. He builds a fire. He has to build a great fire in order that it grows to an enormous temperature, a temperature to where it will begin to move impurities. So it has to reach a certain temperature. We know that, 212 degrees Fahrenheit is boiling point. Am I right when I say that? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Is it 212? 236, all right? All right, now, but we're pretty close, somewhere over 200 degrees. But the thing is this, you have to get a fire, number one. You have to get it hot. And when I get to my house, if my wife can't see a flame, smoke don't do her any good. She says, stoke that baby where I'll see a flame. Because the flame is what does her well. And now you got to get this fire and get it hot so that the refining process takes place. So number one, the fire is to refine you. And the silversmith takes the fire, gets it hot, lays the silver inside the fire, and in order to refine the substance that's in the fire. And that is to separate the impurities to make it pure. Secondly, he tries you. You see the second part in chapter 9, or verse 9 rather? It says, he refines the silver and it's refined, and will try them as gold is tried. So he's refining the silver. That means to separate the impurities. The only way to do that's in a fire. Do you know that? Do you know that they can't take water and boil it to a high enough temperature in order to take the impurities out of the silver? Do you know the only thing that will remove the impurities is fire? And do you understand that the only way as a Christian that you will develop and become pure and continue to be formed as a Christian for God is to go through fire? So why is it that Peter said in 1 Peter, he says that that we should be joyful as partakers of the suffering of Christ. Because we should rejoice. Why should we rejoice? Because we're taking part in the same thing our Savior did. And also this, that the God's holiness rests upon you. I'm glad to know that there's a lot of things that rest upon my shoulders in life, like bills and problems. But I'm glad to also know that as I live here on earth, I don't hate to have to wait until I get to heaven to know that God's holiness rests upon me. How comforting is that for us to know that this morning? That you may feel a heavy burden and a heavy pressure, but just remember, He's with you, and not only is He with you, but His holiness rests upon you. So use that to counteract what it is you're bothering with. Now, you see here where it says He tries the gold. All right, now this is amazing. Watch this very closely. To try the gold. You know, we have to test things out, don't we? You know what irks me? When I watch, Burger King, okay? When I see Burger King and they've got this big, luscious new burger out, and you see this burger and this baby is like this big on TV. Am I right? I mean, there's juice and they got the lettuce and tomato. They got water sprinkled on it. It looks awesome. And they always show that baby when you're hungry. You know, you're looking around, you've been eating tater chips all day and just junk food, and it just ain't hit the spot. You know, that's the same way, too, when you try to live a Christian life and you don't get on the real stuff. It's just like you're eating junk food and you never get your fill. So you just get fat and lazy on the bad stuff. All you got to do is hit this a time or two, you get all you need, amen? Now, daily. But the thing is this, I see this burger and I'm like, next time I go buy it, I'm going to stop. I really don't know if I can get my work truck in that new Burger King the way they did it. When you're coming down Irby and you're headed north, you know how they made that baby do like that there? I don't know if I can make it, but that back tire is going to have to hook a curb because I'm going. That's just the way it's going to be. I mean, listen, it ain't my fault they made it too small, amen? You know, they'll know that they don't need to be there. They need to 45 that baby. But nevertheless, you get there, and when you go through there and say, give me that new burger, give me that flame broiled baby I've seen on TV with that lettuce dripping, that mater's hanging off the side, and that burger looks like it's that thick and it's that big around. Please, give me that. And you get there, and when you open up the wrapper, the lettuce looks like it's 2 days old. The mater looks like it was cut off of a Rome tomato or something. It's not a better boy. You can believe that. And you're sitting there, and the meat looks like somebody chewed around the edges with their teeth. It's not that pretty round burger anymore, is it? And by the way, you're asking the question, where's the beef? Because it's not there. And the thing is, what is it? What are we doing when we do that? Let's relate this to something this morning. We're testing it out. And the same thing God is talking about here in Zechariah 13:9 is that the refiner has to refine the silver, but he has to try the gold. And how does he try the gold? He tests it. He can't just go based upon the appearance of it. And that is why we have to understand Christianity is more than just the appearance. It's more than just a commercial you see on TV. That God wants to take the wrapper and He wants to open it up and He wants to see if it is what I'm seeing is true in you. And you take a look and He tries the gold. And you know how He knows the gold is good? Two reasons. The gold, when it's pure. He can't just look at it and tell. He has to take the gold, and if it will bond with other pure substances, then it's right. Amazing, isn't it? You understand that the gold cannot be judged upon science. It has to be tested. Like welding. Many of you guys weld. I know what you're talking about. We weld pipes. But you got to have everything ready, prep, ready, especially if you're TIGging. TIGging's a very clean. You have to be very clean with your argon and your wire. Everything has to be very clean. Now, you can stick a 6010 5P plus and turn around and run a low hydrogen 7018, you know, 3/32 route or just hot pass. So what are you going to do? Somebody's saying, what did you just say? But the thing is this, when you go in there and you run a TIG rig, you better have that metal really clean or it's going to spit and sputter porosity. And it's going to be a nasty, trashy well. way God knows that you are who you say you are is when your substance is exposed with other purity. And when you can bond with that other pure substance, He knows that the gold has been tried in you. And that's how He knows. It's not just on appearance. Forget appearance. Keep His talk. Let's walk in. I don't need to hear you talking. I'm like from Missouri. You know, you got to show me. Amen? And that's what God is saying. So if you're pure and you've been tried, God says, well, I'm going to try you out. You can fool them. You can't fool me. I'm going to see how compatible you are with my Son. If you say you've accepted Him, then surely you too can bond. So let's try you out. Secondly, He knows that the gold is pure, not again by sight, but by when it comes out of the fire, it is easily to be formed. So He says, I'm going to maneuver you a little bit. I'm not going to break you, but I'm going to bend you. And I'm going to mold you and I'm going to shape you. And if you are formable, then I'll know that you're pure. Because you know what happens like in rebar, if you know what I'm talking about, you worked in concrete before, rebar is the trashiest metal there is. It is contaminated with impurities, bad steel. Guess what happens when you heat it up and try it out to try to bend it? It's like easy. It's brittle. You know why? Full of impurities. There's nothing pure about it. So God said, I'll know, I'll try you out, and I'll know when you're compatible with other pure substances and when I can take you and bend you around the bend a little bit and you are formable at that point. And then, thirdly, He says, I'm going to look at you now. See, Brother Vince had shared this with me several weeks ago, and this really helped me along the way in today's message. It's amazing how God uses you, the people, to help me up here. But you know how a silversmith knows when to pull the silver out of the fire? It's when he can see his own reflection. What has God called you to be as Christians? Imitators of Christ. Not just Him. And everywhere you go, everything you say, everything you do, people are watching you. Because you are the elect. You are an elite group of people. You are the monarchy of this world and always will be. Because He says, few will be there at the gate, because that's the straight and narrow. But many will go down the road of destruction because it's strong. More people will leave this world and never make it to heaven than we. I'm glad to know today that I am called by His name. That I am precious in His sight. And that He made me, yes, but ever since then He's been forming me to become what I ought to be. So now I see where He's done three things. He's taking you through the fire so He can refine you. And make a note of this. The fire can never hurt you. Only Him. What is it extracting? You impure. So bring the fire. Bring the fire in order that the impurities in me may be extracted and that I am left with purity. The flame can't hurt you. To give you an example, you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in front of King Nebuchadnezzar when he turned up the furnace seven times hotter than it normally was, bound them up and threw them in the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar says, come here a minute, fellas. He's talking to the princes and the councils. He says, we did throw three people in the fire, right? And they said, see, O king, see. And he said, well, lo, I see four men walking loose. And he said, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Amen. So you want to know when you're actually more protected and guided by God is not when you're outside of the fire, but it's when you're in the fire. They were thrown in, bound.
before they went in. And they were walking in the fire. Loose. Not alone. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was walking with these young teenage Hebrew children and said, all I wanted to do was take you through the fire, and the fire will not have any charge over you. The flames will not hurt you. It will not even singe your hair on your body. Nor will you smell like the flame of the fire. I am your deliverer, and I will set you free, but I just got to carry you through the fire in order to refine you, to separate you from the impurities. I've got to try you out and know that you are with me and know that you are a product of my Son. And He has to test you. He has to say, I'm going to take you and I'm going to bend you a little bit. Because I'm molding you and making you and forming you to be more like my Son. And then He says, I'll pull you out of the fire when I see the reflection of my Son. That's what He's looking for, church. Does the world see Jesus in you? But more importantly, does God see Jesus in us? I'll read this to you. You just listen as we close down now. Malachi 3 and 2. Listen to this. It's just one page over. But who may abide the day of His coming? People, if I could pinch you, if I could reach out in the crowd and just pinch you on your arm ever so gently right now, I would do that to every one of you. May the Holy Spirit lure us onto this verse right here and listen. But who may abide in the day of His coming? And who shall stand when He is appearing? For He is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's stone. And He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now I want to share something with you as we get ready to close down now. Ready? Something that I thought was very awful. And I think you will too. My kids say I don't ever do anything for them because it's amazing when you preach the Word of God, you have to entertain the minds of those who's been listening to the gospel for many years, and you also have to speak to the one that's hearing it for the very first time. And they both got to be able to understand it and both got to be able to learn from it. That's difficult, but it's not too difficult for my Lord. Watch this. Let me tell you what the refiner's looking for, ready? The refiner is who, church? Tell me. God. Who's the silver and the gold? Because you're precious in His sight. He loves you. But let me tell you what most people are consisted of. Ready? This is what they are. When He says, I'm going to refine you, I'm going to separate, I'm going to take the gold and I'm going to try it, I'm going to find out if you are who you say you are. I'm going to test you. Then He says, I'll pull you out when I can see the reflection of my Son. I'll know you're ready. Because you're compatible with other pure things. Because if you're not compatible with purity here, how are you going to be compatible with Him? He's a pure, righteous, holy God. Watch this. Most people are full of hot air. Amen? This is my breath in this, all right? I want you to watch this. Ready? The fire. Okay? The fire that God puts you through when you're full of hot air. What happens? Brace yourself. You pop. You don't make it. You put into place pieces. There's no survival for that. So Jesus told the lady at the well, He said, I got something I can offer to you. And you will never thirst again. She said, but sir, you came with nothing to fetch me. He said, the water I offer you is not from this well. Because you drink this water, you'll thirst again. He said, I'll offer you a water. Amen. He said, you will never thirst again. You think you've been through a lot? That woman had been married 5 times, divorced, run around, sleeping with every man in town, and was shacked up with some fella. And Jesus stopped in his busy schedule and said, you want what I got? He said, because I can save your soul. And I can set you free. You'll hear the shackles fall on the ground. He said, but all you got to do is drink the water. And see, Jesus is that way. He's an everlasting spring of life. And now when you take the Christian and you fill him up with the water, which represents the purity, you've been refined, you're being tried, and because he sees his son, he pulls you out of the fire. And you'll go as many times as necessary, but understand when you go, you're safer in that fire than you are outside. So now he says, I'll put the fire to you. I'll keep you in the fire. And because of the water that's inside of you, you will never perish. You will live forever. And it's not because of what was on the outside. It's because of what was on the inside. And we can do this all day long. And it's just as good as it was before I started. Please stand. Every head's bowed, eyes are closed. If we could sing this morning, just as I am. Can we sing that this morning? No one's looking around this morning. God spoke to hearts this morning. He has told you that you are precious in His sight. And not only that, but see, you understand something this morning. He asked you many times over to believe in Him, but the thing you need to realize is this. And one thing we never give a whole lot of thought to is this. He believes in you. Because if He didn't believe in you, He would have never died for you. Why? He's smarter than that. Not only that, but He said, I'm going to give you my most precious asset. I'm going to give you the gospel. That man, you and me, would be able to carry this forth unto the regions beyond. He entrusted us with that. He believes in us. And not only that, but He says in John 14:3, that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. I will receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. And all I'm asking you this morning is this. Love Him with all your heart. And I want you to understand this morning one thing, Christian. The water of life that you have inside of you is the purity that He wants you to be compatible with and formed to. And understand on this day, Full of hot air will get you nowhere quick, but being full of the water of life in Jesus Christ will save your soul forever and ever. And this morning, I bid you this, people. If you're not with Him, come find Him this morning at the foot of the cross, which is His altar. And if you're not where you need to be as a believer, you've got sidetracked, you need to get here this morning and have a cleansing and a refreshing for a new year for His glory. Will you sing with us this morning? Amen.